This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome, everybody, to episode number 29 of the Showrunner Podcast. I am your host, Jared Morris, one of the VPs at Rainmaker Digital, and I'm joined, as always, by Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur and the world's greatest defender of humanity. Mr. Naster, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me, Jared.
I don't know. Is there a better way to introduce you? Like, should I be welcoming you since you're always here? I never quite know how to introduce you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I like that now that Sonia's not here with us today, that you can say that I'm now the greatest defender of humanity. Because I know she's also a defender of humanity, but
there was
now
some
it's
debate
just me,
there.
So now I'm the greatest.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you, and we're just hoping she won't listen to this.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Hey, so do I sound any different to you at all?
You sound amazing in my ears. You're making my ears tingle.
Is that so? Well, if that is true, it is because I have some new equipment. I finally decided to stop using the microphone that I've been using literally for like the last 5 years since I started podcasting, the Rode Podcaster mic. And it's really nothing against that microphone. I just felt that now, after hosting as many shows as I have and doing all that I do, I should upgrade my equipment. And so I have joined the Heil PR40 microphone club, which you are a part of.
Welcome to the club.
I look forward to learning the secret handshakes and the secret club passwords and all of that. I guess you're not going to tell me those on the air.
Oh, no. They wouldn't be secret anymore then.
Oh,
but you sound really, really good. You really do. Not you actually really do. You do. And you were asking me before the show, but it's hard when we're just sort of having a discussion and I'm trying to just hear your voice. But now when you're actually just talking to me during the intro, you sound great with this mic.
Well, thank you. And I have to say, it's been, as we just went over this before we recorded, it's been kind of a transition because for the first time I have a boom arm that I can attach to my desk. And obviously I've got the shock mount and the windscreen or the pop filter. And by the way, for anybody who's looking into this, I was researching all of these on Amazon, all of the individual parts and pieces. And I actually went to bswusa.com and found a package where I saved like literally $200. So I'll put the link to that in the show notes. We don't have an affiliate deal or anything. They're not, you know, advertisers, but I just figure I'll pass it along just because obviously it's a big investment. And it took me a while to kind of come to this place where I felt like I had earned it and then, you know, obviously saved the money to do it. But yeah, if you're thinking about it, I'll put the link in there and you can get all this stuff for a really nice package. And so far it's been great, so I can recommend it. But I'm excited to have upgraded, you know. It's kind of a proud moment. I feel like a lot of people, when we talk about this, you know, people kind of want to get all the equipment before they've really started. And sometimes I think that's a mistake. I think you really want to kind of earn it, you know, and kind of put in the time. And then eventually you get to that point where it's time to upgrade. And I felt I'd gotten there. And now I'm excited to have this fun new equipment.
Yeah, you've definitely earned it at this point. And I think it's more rewarding if you do that.
I agree.
You've earned it. And now it's onward and upward for Jared.
I agree. And now I have to continue podcasting. Continue creating new content. And when I do that, find creative ways to use that content in more ways, which is my way of segueing us into today's main topic. Are you ready?
Born ready.
All right, so let's talk about repurposing content and syndication. And the big idea here is work smarter, not harder, right? Because it's hard to create good content. And when you do create good content, instead of just moving on to the next idea or the next piece, we should really think about what else can we do with this content. And that can mean repurposing it. you know, using it in different mediums. Maybe you take a podcast and turn it into a video, or vice versa, or you take a podcast episode, turn it into a slide share. There's many different ways. And you can also syndicate, which, you know, you think about that with a blog post. You take that, you know, one single blog post, and maybe you post it on LinkedIn, and maybe you post it on another site. You're taking the same piece of content in the same medium and distributing it in other places. And so, Johnny, there was actually this idea for this show was yours, and you were inspired by a discussion in the Showrunner Podcasting course group. Do you want to kind of set the stage for what we're going to discuss today?
Yeah, definitely. So this discussion that happened in the Facebook group for the Showrunner course has happened actually sort of in my inbox a couple times too. And it's an interesting thing. And if I'm not quoting this directly from the question, but the way I understand it, thinking back, is that sort of building up to launching the first podcast, which is there's a certain level, like barrier to entry on the content, on the artwork, on everything, that I've noticed that several people that have just reached out to me say that they're going to start a YouTube channel first, because the barrier to entry is a lot lower. Scale of magnitude is still massive, obviously, because there's hundreds of millions of users, and some people get millions of subscribers just on YouTube. So I always push people that if that's going to lower your barrier to entry, going with a YouTube channel, literally sitting in front of your computer and just talking out your content, if you feel good about doing that and you feel like you could start tomorrow, then by all means, don't start in 6 months with a podcast because you're going to struggle with it more. Start with a video podcast. Then the question then extends beyond that, because some people start building up a small audience or even a large audience like that. But then there's often this fear of taking that content, or what to do, or are there other things to even do? And most people seem to think that once it's on YouTube, it exists as content, and that content is sort of, I guess, static and shouldn't be distributed in other ways, or else they're just not thinking of it. And the way I see it is that I agree with you, Jared, how you say like the whole work smarter, not harder, but also don't undervalue and don't underutilize the content that you've already created. Mm-hmm. So with this discussion in the course, my first thing was, well, because there's, I guess Jeff, he was saying how he feels like the video is exclusively, the content is made for video. It's like, well, of course, all videos are, right? Because they're a visual aspect. That's what makes them videos. So to me, it's kind of, you shouldn't say that, well, your videos are specifically videos, because it's kind of like in the whole business realm or small business realm that I've existed in, people often, if something goes wrong with their business, they always say, well, my business is in this certain market, and so it doesn't work for me. It's like, well, it does work for you. Everyone thinks that they're that unique flower in that way. Their content is, or their business is. And it's, we have to sort of get over that, because when we get over that, we allow ourselves to reach way bigger audiences, to just to accomplish more with the one piece of content. And so my example was Gary Vaynerchuk. Mm-hmm. Gary Vaynerchuk started Ask Gary V, the video podcast. It was on YouTube, and he started it as a video, but didn't even think about this at the beginning. But then it's Gary Vee, so he thought about it within like three episodes or something. And so it went from a YouTube channel, which it still is, also outputs to, I guess, to Libsyn, and then publishes to iTunes as a video podcast, and then literally just converts it to an audio, just takes the video out, no changes at all whatsoever otherwise, and puts it as an audio podcast. Mm-hmm. His video on YouTube, I believe, is his most popular, where that content, like, it gets 50 or 60,000 like views on an episode. And then I think his video podcast on iTunes gets the lowest, but you can't tell how many, but I just know that it's not always up there in the rankings. But then his audio one is also super, super, super popular. And the only change he made between like episode one and probably somewhere in episode 10, somewhere in that first 10 is where he decided, like, whoa, I can do this. All he did was he stopped saying visual cues, as in see me do this or see. And I actually was listening to like episode 70 or something of him, and he actually said it at the beginning. He's like, "You're watching me on the Gary Vee show," and he's like, "No, you can tell I've taken 9 days off. You're not watching me. I am on the Gary Vee show." He's like, "I'm still doing video cues. Sorry about that." And I was like, and to me, that was like, that's brilliant. And he still made the mistake, but he still didn't go back and take it out. He still spreads that across. Mm-hmm. The idea being that this isn't, you are not making this content for yourself. You're not making this content to be seen on a video platform. If that's where, even if that's your biggest channel, that's not, it's never about you, right? It's always about your audience. And your audience is not everywhere. Your audience can be like, I mean, all audience isn't everywhere. So therefore, the people who watch YouTube videos are not on iTunes looking for audio podcasts to listen to on their commute to work. And then people that are obsessed with downloading video podcasts off iTunes onto their iPads are not watching on YouTube like they are listening to on audio or watching on video podcasts. So to me, it's this, you're creating something once and you're reaching, although it could be a lot of people, it's not nearly all of the people. Mm-hmm. And so you are neglecting the people who don't get to hear your message, don't get to hear your content, don't get to benefit from it in audio or in an iTunes podcast. And so therefore you should, if you're creating anything, and you can do the same thing the other way, like lots of people take audio podcasts and then put them to video, or they record them just with video and do like a cut of a bonus sort of, here's the interview with video and post it to YouTube, because it's just new places for you to get found, mm-hmm. new places for your content to have impact.
Yeah. I will say, we did in our Rainmaker Platform webinar series that Brian Clark and I have been doing, our second webinar in that series is called A Podcast Strategy That Attracts Attention and Builds Your Content Arsenal. And we talk about this idea of repurposing audio content and the many different ways that you can use it. And there are so many different ways that you can use it. And what I love about the example that you just gave, Johnny, as it relates to this idea of working smarter, not harder, is that time that you're investing into the actual recording. Like, yes, you can record just an audio podcast and then, you know, do many different things with it. You know, take a little clip and maybe put it with an image or something on Instagram and take the ideas and put them on slide deck. And that, you know, that creates some more time, but it's still, you know, repurposing your ideas into a different medium. But where you can really turbocharge this and really get the maximum efficiency out of it is actually, you know, during one recording session, create content for many different distribution channels. So if you, and this is what we do with the Assembly Call, right? My IU post-game show, where we record, you know, as soon as the game ends, we've got it as a Google Hangout, we're recording and it's a video, but we're simultaneously getting the audio so that we can then post it as a podcast. And then of course, all it takes is 5 to 10 minutes to whip up a quick blog post. And now we've got a blog post with it as well. That blog post will then of course go out in an email. And so there's minimal extra work after the actual recording to get a video that can be viewed live, a video that can be viewed archived, then the podcast, then a blog post, and then content for an email. And then, of course, that will then be what we fill our Twitter account with the next day to get people over to the blog post. But the vast majority of that work is just that hour that we spend right there recording, and we're able to take that time and spread it against many different channels. And now if we want to go even further with that, you know, we could take clips of the show and post them to Vine or post them to Instagram or even post them to, you know, to Facebook video. So there's a lot of different places we can go. And I think our main point here with this episode is to really challenge folks, challenge you right now listening to this, to figure out ways that you can maximize your time, because we all only have a certain finite amount of time that we can spend creating content. And the more distribution channels we can get into, the more potential audience members we can reach. And Johnny, I thought you explained that very well, that, you know, you're going to have these certain audience members here on iTunes or on YouTube or wherever it is. And the more that you can reach all of them with the time that you have allotted for content creation, obviously, it's just going to spread your message more, build your audience more, and you're going to find more people who can potentially pay attention to and act on your calls to action.
Yeah, and it's not cheating. It's in no way. And that's something that I used to think. That's like, if you would have talked to me 2 years ago, I would have probably explained this. Well, no, that's totally cheating. You just create new content for new places. And the deeper I get into repurposing one thing that I do that I feel resonates with an audience in this medium, I take it as many places as I can. Mm-hmm. And then I start looking at people that I admire their work and they have reached way bigger scale. Gary Vaynerchuk is one person, or James Altucher is another person. Once you start paying really close attention to those people, you start to see the content repeat over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And you might think that that's a bad thing, but it's not, because as much as you want to think that your, even your most dedicated audience member does not pay attention to everything you do. Mm-hmm. They absolutely, I used to freak out about this in, I would say even my first 50 episodes of Hack the Entrepreneur, like, oh, I'm repeating that over, or I'm saying that same thing as a lesson. And it's just because this is literally like, I didn't plan it. I was just kind of working it out. But then it was like, well, I have 3 episodes a week and most people don't listen to all of them. They might listen to one, or they might listen to two, or then they'll, it's just, and people jump around all the time getting to different episodes. It's just how it is. And then they also don't all get onto my email, or they don't all read an article that I published to Copy Blogger. They just, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And I think that you're just doing yourself and your platform and your audience a super, super, super disservice by not repurposing and it's reusing. And but I mean, you're also, if you wrote something or you recorded a podcast, even last Tuesday, with all the experiences you've had in the next week since, and then you sit down today to maybe turn that into like a slide deck or something, there's still going to be new input to you. Like, you're taking most of it, but there might be a slight tweak on something that's made it new and interesting again. Like, yeah. You're ideas are always evolving, and you can allow that in this repurposing if you want. It just, it does make it a bit harder, but that's fine if that's what it takes for you to feel that you are providing new value. And all you have to think is that you're providing new value because you're reaching new people. You're the person who listened to your podcast on YouTube or watched it is not going to then go download the audio version and the video version off iTunes and then also go check out your slide decks, your Instagram, and then if you write a blog post about it. They're just not.
Yeah.
They don't need to, but you're going to reach one person on YouTube, 2 people on iTunes audio, 1 person on your blog. Like, now, instead of just the 2 people, you've got 5. That's how to think about it. And I mean, James Altucher, once you've read one of his books or 2 of his books, I'll give him credit for, then it's kind of like, whoa, man, I think I've read all these books. And that's not saying that's nothing negative about him. The guy's a genius for it. And he's built up a massive scale. And it's because you can only create so much as one person, or even with a small team. It's not cheating. It absolutely isn't. This is how you scale up content and how you scale up your audience into building a business around it.
And let me address something here too that I think a lot of people fear. And Jeff, in the question that he posted in our group, basically said, which was that, you know, he's doing these videos and he really feels like the videos fit for the video format, right? And you talked about this earlier. And so he questions whether he should take that content over to audio. Look, you know, the audio version of the video doesn't have to be 100% as great as the video. If you're doing something specifically for video, it will probably fit better for video. That is okay. If the audio is still 75, 80%, even 50% effective at getting the message across in comparison to the video, and it's still good on its own, that's okay. Because the people who are listening are still getting something new that they wouldn't have otherwise gotten. And I'll use the assembly call example, right? Like, we put that on video, but we are not maximizing the video medium. It's just us and our goofy faces talking into the camera. You know, we did it so that our audience could kind of get a feel for us. And again, to basically put this out in more ways, but the real bread and butter is the audio that we get from it. But just because it's an audio-based show doesn't mean that we don't benefit from having the video out there too, even though we're not maximizing, you know, going all out to maximize the video part of it. So I think sometimes we need to set our expectations and say it's okay for this thing to not be 100% perfect. Now, if you're doing a video and it's all a pantomime and there's no audio, okay, maybe you can't repurpose that to audio, you know? But for the most part, I mean, if you're, it's like right now, okay, we're recording a podcast, Johnny, obviously. This is all audio. There's no video component to this. But we could take this and repurpose it into a video by just laying some real simple slides. Like literally, we could just lay a transcript over what we're saying right now and it would make it a worthwhile video and we'd reach more people. Now, we don't necessarily have the time to do that. It's not the choice that we're making for the showrunner, but we could and take audio that's not optimized for video, but still make it a worthwhile video. And so it requires a little bit of creativity, maybe, and it may just require relinquishing the need for perfection. You know, getting it out there, making it good, making it useful is more important than it being absolutely 100% mind-blowingly perfect. And I think sometimes we get a little bit lost in that and we forget about the effectiveness that we can have and the usefulness that we can have just by getting it out there in a different way.
Yeah, good. That's an excellent point. And you can be flexible, right? If Jeff, your content is so video-based and not to keep going back to Gary Vaynerchuk, but I'm going to, because if you know Gary Vaynerchuk, which I believe you do, if there's anybody who is amazing on video and not as amazing on audio, it's hard to beat Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, the guy's just freaking out all the time, waving his hands, doing all kinds of crazy stuff to the point where I'll find him on iTunes and actually like, I need to see this, and I'll go to YouTube and watch it. I don't think that the idea that somebody is going to not find you on YouTube, they're going to find your audio version of your video that's way better on video, that's fine. They're going to find it on iTunes audio. So say even five people find it and like two of them are like, oh, I don't like this. That's fine. That's, you don't want everybody. You just want the people that are really into you. But then the other three people from those, two of them are like, man, I need to see these videos. And they go, like, it's just a channel for finding new people. And yeah, then maybe they actually prefer to see you on YouTube, but they've never discovered you on YouTube. And they wouldn't have until they found you on iTunes audio, where they happen to be. You have to be in front of people where they are. You can't make people come to you. You have to just sort of appear where they are all the time. And so it's the idea of just distributing it amongst these different channels, which are all just massive search engines. And you can't be at the top of all search engines, but you can find your way into different ones. And those different people might find you there. And I mean, you can direct people to the video if you want in the video and tell it like, come back, or that. And so that audio cue is still there for people. They hear that enough, they're going to go subscribe to you on YouTube if it is so much better and so much more necessary to see you on YouTube. And if they absolutely don't want to do that, they might just subscribe on audio. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're still getting the benefit of your content, except they're getting it how they want to get it, not how you want them to get it. And it's all about them. It's not about you. It's your audience. It's your audience. It's your audience. However they want to consume you, you have to allow them to. If you don't, you're just being selfish and you're not creating content. And this isn't just for you, Jeff, but you're just not creating content for them. And you've stopped thinking about your audience and the transformation you're trying to help them achieve. And you're only thinking about yourself. And when you do it from a selfish aspect, you will not have the impact. You will not have you won't be able to come across to an audience, and you won't build the audience that you want until you selflessly create this stuff for them.
Good point. Let's address one more area of this repurposing before we move on, which is one that people are probably wondering if we're going to address, because it's one that often gets talked about this, and that is using transcripts for your podcast, which on Rainmaker FM, we recently took transcripts away. It was a business decision. They simply were costing too much for the benefit they were providing at the time. We'll see if they come back. I know people have had questions about that. And sometimes it does come down to that. You know, for example, I'd love to have transcripts on every one of my daily Primality episodes, but right now that's not cost effective for me to do. And, you know, look, there are pie in the sky ideas and we'd love to do it all. Sometimes we can't do it all. But let's talk about a hypothetical big picture project, Johnny. Like, say, I don't know, a book. And let's talk about how you might be able to, if you're doing transcripts on a show, how you might actually be able to use those transcripts in another way of repurposing, which is, you know, taking the parts and pieces. You've already got them written out. Now it's written out for audio. So you may, you know, if you're going to repurpose a transcript, you may have to touch it up and rewrite some parts so that it's better for reading, because obviously the way that we speak is going to be different from the way that we write. But do you have any general thoughts on perhaps taking transcripts from, oh, I don't know, 115 or so shows, and then using them to maybe create kind of this bigger picture project, like an ebook, a book, or, you know, blog post, whatever it may be?
Yeah. So the Rainmaker canceling transcripts is an interesting thing that I can't talk on because I don't run a podcast network that has 20 podcasts putting out probably 30 or 40 shows a week.
Yeah.
Because the scale is massive. But personally, for me, transcripts always show their value. And you're right, they're really, really expensive. And that's always the issue, is everyone's trying to find out how to get them done cheaper. And of course, I mean, that's how business works. You need to find ways to save money. But
type while you talk. That's how you do it.
But you can only get them done so cheap, because otherwise the quality of them, then they have to be edited, and then editors are even more expensive. So there's this, it's a hard thing. It's not an easy thing. It's something that somebody needs to nail as a business, because they'll make a killing at it. But it's, if you're only doing it, most people, if you're thinking about it only in the direct terms, which the first thing people think of that is to post it to their website and to gain SEO, and just for people who want to read it in that way. And yes, the repurposing of it in that way is valuable, but is it like $50 or $100 or $150, whatever it costs to get one done, depending on the length of your episode? Yeah, probably not. Google traffic's pretty hard, and you might do that for a year or two and it might not even catch on. So it's kind of, to me, it's, you're kind of, I don't, the analytics aren't there, the numbers aren't there to be able to do that. But if you were to think longer term, or to take this repurposing idea, and you'd have to be really, really smart to do this. But if you were thinking that you could take that transcript, and because the content in that conversation is valuable and could be reused in many, many, many ways, such as slide decks. You could just literally copy and paste parts of it over beautiful images, put it to SlideShare, and find those people. Or, as, and that's why I'm laughing, because this is how I thought about it, and this is how I think, is that you could take those then and you could turn those conversations into emails, which I've done numerous times. Mm. Or you could take that conversation and then edit it down even further and rewrite it and kind of repurpose it, but in a rewriting sort of way, and then turn it into a book, which Jared is alluding to, because this is what I have started to do. And this is what I'm doing. I'm launching a book on December 14th, and it's based on 50 hacks, the top 50 from my 130 something guests at this point, and I'm pulling out the top 50, and I'm literally taking the verbatim quote from transcript of the hack themselves, and then I'm writing an intro to the guest, which is a repurposing of my intro that I've already used on my show, that intro that I read directly, and then I copy and paste to my show notes. I've written it so that it can be, this is, to me, again, back to the flexibility. It's like I could have made it so just something I could say on my show, but then I'd have to completely rewrite it to be the show notes, but that was too much work. So I was flexible with both, and I just made it work so that I can literally use a verbatim on both. So it's the same thing, one piece of content. But now it's also going to become an intro to the guest in my book, and then my lesson after the hack is being retweaked by an editor to, but basically it's that, and it's being just repurposed into a full-on book, which is going to be an ebook and an actual paperback book at the same time. And the only reason why I could validate to myself spending the money on the transcripts is because I was thinking about all the different ways I could use it. And you can do this, and you need to think about all pieces of content that you create, I think, in this way. And that's why I love this conversation. And that's why I've had all this pent-up energy about this conversation. Yeah. It was this morning where you emailed me and I was like, we need to talk about this. And it's true, because this is what I'm finally realizing. Like I said, 2 years ago, I didn't think this way. And the more and more I get comfortable doing this, the bigger my platform gets. And it's blowing my mind. Yeah. Because the people who are stuck on it are the ones who haven't started doing it. Because once you see the rewards of it, then you're just well, there's no question about it. This is the way to do it.
Yeah.
But it's before that that there's all this uneasiness. I know because I had it. And now it's just like, whatever, man. Let's just put this as far as we can because it reaches new people. And people email me from the weirdest places they found me. And they're just like, thank you so much. I found you there. It's like, wow, somebody actually found me over there. That's really cool. So that's how I thought about transcripts is I thought about them in the fact that they could do three or four other things as well as go onto the show notes, as well as hopefully work for Google. But to me, Google's a long shot and I couldn't put that much money and effort into something and just hoping and praying that in a year, Google might start to recognize all that content. Because I still don't know if they do.
My burning question is, will the paperback version be small enough for use as a stocking stuffer? Since it's coming out on December 14th.
I guess we'll see if it fits into your stocking.
Wrap the entrepreneur. WRAP. I can see it now.
Yeah, and December the 14th is probably... So this is probably a whole different lesson. But December the 14th, one would think, probably not the best time to launch a book, right? But it's almost October 14th. That's 2 months away. And to me, it's like, well, I could put it 6 months in the future. And then it's like, well, yeah, okay, I'll procrastinate on it for 5 months probably and then cram it into a month at the end. And it's like, but why would I wait that long? And to me, it's like, I've always told people are always like, oh, I want to launch my product, but it's going to be ready in December. And so should I wait till the New Year's? Like, why would you wait? Like, there's literally the best time to launch something is when you have something or when you have the idea and the spark to do it is to do it then. Because one thing, people buy stuff all the time. You could literally, if say Gary Vaynerchuk, because we're on him, or I am, but if he launched his new book on Christmas Day, I bet you it would still be a bestseller.
Yeah.
Everybody's still on their phones. Everybody's still on their computers. Everybody still wants to buy stuff. Everybody still has their credit card already in Amazon. So I don't think there's a bad time to launch something. And it might actually be beneficial because lots of people fear December. So they might not launch then and I might be by myself. But either way, it doesn't matter. It's just the timeline is right. I don't care when the date falls, but it was literally, okay, I need 2 months and a bit to do this. So I set a date and now we're literally mapping out this week a calendar, working backwards, like I tell everybody to do, work backwards from my goal, and literally every single day and then every week, the different goals and every month, the goals I have to hit to make that date happen. Yeah. And that's how it's going to work.
It's interesting you say that. I was actually just recording a webinar yesterday with Belinda Weaver from copyrightmatters.com. And she talked about how when she first launched her copywriting masterclass course, she was working with a business coach at the time. And, you know, she had this idea, but Christmas was coming up and, you know, she's going to kind of put it off. And the coach was like, no, you will launch this thing before Christmas. And it was pretty much the exact same idea that you just presented there. So I like that. Just get it done. You might as well, because you're right. Otherwise, you're just procrastinate and, you know, do it all in the month at the end anyway.
Things come up. Like, it's just right now I have the time. I have the content because, well, I don't have all the content, but I have a lot of it because it's, as we said, it's been created. Now I'm finally over myself, the fact that I can just reuse all that. Because I've literally been told by my audience that I need to do this. I need to have a book where they can find the best ones. And it's like, okay, you've told me enough times. I'll repurpose that content. And now I'm sharing that lesson with you.
Yeah. You know, if this was radio right now, we'd have a producer basically banging on the glass telling us that we're way late for a break. So let's
show why we're not on radio.
I know. Exactly. All right. Now we'll move on to the listener question. And this week's listener question is sponsored by the Rainmaker platform, which is the complete website solution for smarter digital marketing and sales. Basically, it allows you to get more power out of WordPress without the hassle. You can go to rainmakerplatform.com and start your 14-day free trial. For my sites, Assembly Call, Primility, I use the Rainmaker platform because it's great at hosting podcasts. It's also great if you want to add a course or a member area or a forum or a landing page or. There's all kinds of different stuff you can do with Rainmaker. The best way to test it out and see if it's right for you is with the 14-day free trial. Go to rainmakerplatform.com and start your free trial today. Hey, Johnny, what do you think? So we've got a listener question here from Jeff Leo Herman, who also we kind of used his question for the main topic. We've gone a little long. What do you think about saving this question? Because it's a really good one. And I'd kind of like to dig into this one. And maybe it's a whole episode. What do you think about saving this for next week?
I think that's an excellent idea.
I think it's an excellent idea, too. So, little cliffhanger. Tune in next week to the showrunner and find out what this epic question from Jeff Leo Herman is and why it was too big, too great, too amazing to try and squeeze in to episode number 29.
Does that give me like 2 minutes now to spare?
Yeah, you got something else?
Just about the Rainmaker platform.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, if it's about the Rainmaker platform, take 10.
I got an email day before yesterday, from one of my listeners who's also a listener of the show. I'm not going to say his name or business because I didn't approve. He didn't approve any of this. I didn't ask and he said no. I just didn't ask. I saw him at Authority and I met him there for the first time. He's been like working within his niche for like 35 years and has created little digital products here and there, but nothing's really taken off at all. And he had this like pent up demand and authority built in. But he was baffled by the taking it to the web. And he wanted to create a course and he wanted to create like a training course online, but it absolutely baffled him. He talked to you and obviously discovered the Rainmaker platform. He did it. He started then. He decided, this is what I'm doing and I'm not going to let this stop me. And he used the learning management system. He launched his first course ever in 35 years of, and he's like, yeah, wow. It's like, I mean, I had built-in authorities like from 35 years of hard work, but people trusted me. But he launched it with hardly any hiccups, the usual launch hiccups, but not technical hiccups.
Yeah.
He got 100 people into his course. He sold over $20,000 already. Wow. It was like a pre-launch of like, he called it a pre-launch because he was scared about making it an actual launch in case it failed, which we all have this fear. I just love how the technical side, he just got to forget about it. Like it was just there. He could do it easily. And then it was literally just, I need to create the best course for my audience. And then I need to actually find this, although they're here, I've never dealt with them in this way. And he did it and he was so excited. And I was so excited for him. I wrote him the longest response and I was like, man, that's so amazing. Wow. 100 people? It's like, oh. So I had to share that with you because that to me is like, the greatest testimonial to the simplicity and the awesomeness of Rainmaker platform.
That is awesome. Yes. Thank you for sharing. Once again, go to rainmakerplatform.com. Start your free 14-day trial today. Let's do a podcast recommendation. So I have a podcast recommendation. I want to point people in the direction of a new show on Rainmaker FM that I think folks will really, really like. It is Chris Ducker's new show. It is called Youpreneur. As someone who has spent my life loving words and creating new words, I'm a huge fan of this word amalgamation of Chris Ducker's, Youpreneur, which is great. A quick sampling of some of the headlines. Up Periscope, why Twitter's live streaming app is a personal branding game changer. And there are few people to learn about Periscope from better than Chris Ducker. And if you haven't checked out his Ducker Scopes, they're highly entertaining. Why and how selling ourselves makes a difference. Why originality is king and why every online business owner needs to embrace it more. If you want to listen to a show that will really empower you to do your thing and to really see yourself as an online entrepreneur, where in a lot of ways the product is you and how to develop that product online, develop that brand, Chris Ducker is an authority in this space and his new show, Youpreneur, on Rainmaker FM will be a great place to learn about this and really learn practical stuff from a guy who has gone out and done it and now he's just sharing with you what's worked and what hasn't.
Interesting thought, Jared. We would not be here right now having this conversation if it was not for Chris Ducker.
Really?
Yeah. Hack the Entrepreneur is like an extension of Chris Ducker's first tropical think tank, of which Brian Clark is speaking at next year's.
But, oh, wow.
I saw him on the list and I went to Chris Ducker's very, very first one 2 years ago, met like a bunch of brilliant people who are still, I have a mastermind with once a week with some of those guys. Mm-hmm. And then I met like Pat Flynn, I met John Lee Dumas, Pat ended up buying this gear that I'm speaking on, and it kind of mapped out the whole Hack the Entrepreneur thing that I then started 3 months later, which is now 16 months later. And yeah, I wouldn't be on Rainmaker FM without that guy. I wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation. We wouldn't have a course together, all without Chris Ducker. So there's no... it's weird, eh? I was just thinking that as you were saying, I'm like, man, it's so true. Like, he's literally the guy that started everything that I've done for the last 2 years. That 2 years ago when I was like, you can't repurpose all that stuff, that was me prior to meeting Chris Ducker at Tropical Think Tank. I'm not telling you this because you can go to Tropical Think Tank next year, because you can't, because it's sold out already, but maybe the next year. But you can get even better by just listening to him. And actually, I have that one about Periscope queued up for my walk right after this call, because I need to get on Periscope and I know Chris Ducker's the guy to teach me. And so I have to listen to this episode. So I strongly, fully, 100% endorse and recommend Chris Ducker and his show as well.
So listen to Chris Ducker, the godfather of the showrunner, on his new show, Youpreneur, on Rainmaker FM. That's cool. I didn't realize that.
It's absolutely true. It sounds like epic and like I'm trying to build it up, but it's like, no, it's just that I don't know, that's how my brain works, but it goes back. I work like backwards from things, and I'm working now forwards from that.
Yeah.
It's how it works.
That is wonderful. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of The Showrunner. We appreciate it. Our final message to you is to go to showrunner.fm and join our email list. If you are not already on it, you will get our content series, The Four Essential Elements of a Remarkable Podcast. It will teach you our fundamental thoughts, what we think is important, how to build an audience in this age of on-demand audio content. So get on that, learn that, and then make sure that you join us every week. We're here every Wednesday with a brand new episode, and we will be back next Wednesday with another brand new episode. And don't forget, we're going to reveal what that incredible question was from Jeff Leo Herman, so you can't miss it. See, in radio, that's called a tease, and they're constantly kind of teasing what's coming in the future. I've been listening to a lot of radio lately.
There's our producer in the window again.
Sorry, he's tapping on the glass. Guys,
This has been fun.
Yes, it has been fun. And we will talk to you next week.